Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby
and the 2016 Bashford Cat.
Demo Derby Masters.
Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash and Capital City Carnage.
Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Tell you what, next year, we got to get a hold of Dalton Gullo. We're going to get a couple highlights from May Mania and that hit
where the
cars ended up in our lap.
That's got to end up on there.
That's going to be in there.
Has to be. Your facial expression was priceless.
Yeah, I don't want the camera on me. I want no part of that. Want no part of that. Nate Middendorf already checking in, saying hello. Nate did something that I've never seen before over the weekend. He was home. I'm assuming by himself because that's how he spends most of his time. And he was playing with his RC car. And he had hit the wall so hard that he broke the frame. It looked like he broke the car in half.
Nice.
It's a lot harder than anything I've ever seen or heard about. That was not too bad. Going to be catching up with Zach Johnson here in just a few minutes. Going to be touching base with Tim Clark as well with Smash and Demolition Derbies. And then rounding it out, we're going to be talking to Nick King, who built the Brandon Reinhart raffle car, the Compact. It's going to be going directly into the 10,000 to win Compact feature on Sunday as part of the trifecta Sunday, as Bash for Cash has now got, with $10,000 for the old iron, $11,000 for the
for the
Smash It class, and then they've got the Compacts that are paying $10,000. A lot of money being tossed around on that day. We had Drive for Five.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Zach Johnson picking up a win in that. We'll be talking with him first. Not too bad of a stretch there for Zach, coming off a win in the team show at Spring Explosion. Now turns it on and he wins Drive for Five, so we'll be catching up with him. But, Ben, I know you're anxiously awaiting the departure time. You're heading out Saturday morning, right, for Bash for Cash, and O'Brien and I are going to be rolling out Friday morning so that we can catch a little bit of time in the inspection line. It's kind of like waiting for Christmas to get here. It turns into a long week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it being a holiday weekend, I mean, I just got stuck on overtime this week, too, so that makes it even worse. But, once again, I mean, I missed last year, but it was a great show last year. And, you know, when he moved the event this year to a bigger facility, expectations are the same. I mean, it's going to be another great show. I pity the inspection guys. I mean, they do a thorough job, and man, it makes for that many cars and that many classes. I mean, it makes a stupid long weekend, you know, because everybody, I mean, we talk about Blizzard Bash, we talk about Capital Carnage, we talk about places out west, and in Ohio is just as innovative as the rest of the country, you know, and you have some of the best, most top builders in Ohio, and them guys think of shit every year. I mean, it's to make your head spin.
More new.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. A little twist here, a little twist there. So, I'm looking forward to a couple classes. So it'll be fun.
Wire class will be interesting as always. I hear the Gaskins, they've got 80s cars. They posted.
I think so. I seen a video posted, and I almost think that they're in the 80s class. Because it looked like they had some newer Cadillacs they built, but I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but who knows?
Also,
I mean, it was on the internet, so I guess.
If it's on the internet, it has to be true.
Yeah.
Christy King's wedding's coming up this weekend. She's got door wraps on the way for her. They've got a Roadmaster wagon that's going to be the altar for their wedding, and they're putting decals on it, which is going to be kind of cool.
That's
awesome. Al McNeil's running in the wire class out there at Bash for Cash, and he got his decals this week. Looking forward to it. Andy, tell me, were you at Canandaigua this weekend, or did you not make it home in time?
I was not. Nope,
no.
Didn't make it.
I see Toby Wise got second, and Ellison got third.
He did.
Who won?
That's...
I don't know. It's a mystery.
It wasn't in the press release from the track either.
Not sure.
Maybe they didn't crown a winner. They just gave it a second or third.
Yeah. More money, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, that's because I kept looking on there because I knew there was knew he had one over there at the track, but it just don't know who won.
Toby's done well.
Oh yeah, Toby's done real good. You know, he's got good gene pool from derbies. So, you know, his dad Brian was just awesome, super awesome builder, awesome driver. Got some wins under his belt, and I hear he wants to jump back in the seat.
Why wouldn't you want to?
So
father and son.
He does all right.
Yeah.
Another racetrack-based show here locally, Fulton Speedway, on the 28th, used 12 to 15 chain and go. It's 4 and 6 cylinder with a wheelbase of 109 inches or less. Check the rules. The adult 4 and 6 cylinder, same thing. 1,000 to win, 300 for second, 200 for third. That's King Smash'em Crash'em Demolition Derbies that are overseeing that. They got some more changes coming up, too. They got the Madison County Fair this year. In fact, after all, there was a lot of rumor going about that they weren't going to have that show after all this year. Big cars, 1,500 to win. Power Wheels are starting at Madison County Fair are at noon on July the 9th. Big cars, that's a 40-car minimum. This is all screwed up. I'm trying to make sense of this message. August 27th, Fulton Speedway. No time announced yet. Same rules as what we're going to see this week on the 27th of August. And then Wheel Days is scheduled for the 24th of September with start time being 4 o'clock. Big cars, 1,500 to win based on a 40-car minimum. They should get that without any problem.
Yeah,
it's going to be 1,250 to win if it's under 40 cars. 4 and 6 cylinders, up to 107-inch wheelbase, 1,000 to win there with a 25-car minimum. Vans and trucks, 100% payback. Rollover contest, 100% payback. They're going to be busy this summer.
Mm-hmm.
King Smash and Crash, we've got a lot going on. With two events at Fulton, it's going to be pretty neat. Again, they're running this weekend. But the attention, of course, this weekend is fixed almost solely on Ohio.
Bash for Cash.
as you've got the shirt on.
Yeah.
Paul Nielsen sent me a note today about Crossroads for next year already. 4,000 to win. 2,700 for second, 1,700 for third, 1,200 for third, 900 for fourth, 500 for sixth, 300 from 7th through 10th, and $1,000 for most aggressive.
Well, that's nice.
They've
down the line.
Yeah.
Well, they've restructured it, and I think that's a little bit of a good move. They were concerned about pacing and stuff like that in the feature. Now there's a whole lot more incentive to go out there for that Mad Dog Award.
Yeah,
and really, from my perspective, I don't think there's anything to complain about Crossroads this year. I don't think there's any problems. The heats were awesome. They pushed the pace, 20-minute time limit, and it worked out great. But by juggling that money around, the 7,000 is off the top. They spread it out deeper, so there's not the same incentive. You know, there's such big swings in between, and that extra $100 coming from 7th to 10th, I think it was 200 to start last year.
I like throwing in, you know, 1,000, you know, 1,000, 1,500, you know, throw in two or three of them Mad Dog 1,000, 1,500s throughout the day or in the heats or even in the feature, instead of just having one Mad Dog in a feature, have two or three.
You
throw $2,000 or $3,000 Mad Dogs in a feature, guess what? Till them guys you're done, that's going to be a kick-ass pace. You know?
It's going to be wild, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of guys, their cars might not be, you know, they might not have much car left after the heat. So, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go out and stand on it. I'm going to try to get a Mad Dog.
Make some money.
You know, and, you know, hey, in their mind, they think they're not going to make it to the end. So they just go out there and put a show on. Yeah. That makes for a good event.
Yeah. How far away are we from seeing it's going to be 800 to start the feature from first to 20th, 20 cars make it, and they just give up Mad Dogs?
Well, I think we're ways away from that.
We're ways away? You think
ways
so?
Ways away from that, yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah, you still got to get...
It's not a good idea. Put down the pitchforks and torches. It's not a good idea. It was just an idea. Relax.
Well, it's an idea. It's a good idea. Just I think you're a ways away from that.
Some of these big shows might think about it, though. If they're concerned about their pace, you know, less than 2 hours, something to consider.
Yeah, but there's only a few shows that last that long. I think that's going to come around, and they're getting a handle on that, and it's going to change tide. Well,
everything's evolving. You know what else is evolving? Johnson Wrecking Crew. They're getting more and more and more formidable. Mm-hmm. They pulled down another win.
Flags.
Yeah. They took Spring Explosion, and now Zach Johnson comes away with the win at Drive for Five. Zach's joining us here on the hotline. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. So take us through Drive for Five. It's not too bad of a payday for the weekend, and certainly suggest that you guys have some pretty good momentum going at this point.
Yeah, for sure. It was a stressful weekend by all means, inspection and stuff, and had to change a bunch of things to get through or whatnot. Didn't know how it was going to go, but it turned out for the best, I guess.
And when you say you had a bunch of stuff to change and things you had to adjust, is it stuff that you, I mean, honestly, is it stuff that you knew you were going to have to change when you left the shop, or was it honestly some issues with interpretation of the rules?
Interpretation of the rules, for sure. Yeah. A lot of gray areas. I mean, I was told the bell had to be 2 inches all the way around with the training brace. It was 2 inches, but the way I did my training brace, they didn't like it. So I had to cut my training tunnel out, which was a big deal to me, but it ended up working, so I can't complain, I guess.
Right.
So you said it ended up working. Did it do something that you didn't expect it to do?
Well, I didn't think the car was going to stay as straight as it was at the end for as long as it did, you know.
Right.
With having to cut the tunnel out, because you cut the tunnel out, you take all your pressure away.
Sure.
You guys know that. You guys seen all these shows.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So take us through a little bit more of it than just what you endured in inspection and what actually happened out there on the track. I mean, obviously, it's nobody that comes away with a win at Drive for Five has an easy path to get it. Mm-hmm. And running out there with a tranny tunnel that was eliminated from the car and losing all your pressure, how did things evolve and play out in the main for you?
It went good. Went out or whatever. Everybody kind of left me alone. You know, I could do my own thing. I didn't know if it was something to do with after spring, how shit went down, or, excuse my language, how shit went down or whatever, and whatnot, but I just kind of went out there, did my own thing, made my hits. I don't think there was a shot that I took that I didn't pick or I couldn't control. I mean, I was square on everything. I think that helped a ton with the way the front end went, you know, and nothing bent goofy on me.
Oh, it's awesome because it's very few derbies. I know very few derbies I've ever been in to where I go out there and I feel like every shot I took, I definitely kind of had planned and I took every shot that I wanted to take. And I mean, when you get in that zone, and when you're in that zone like that and everything's going right like that, it's hard to be beat, you know, when you're in a zone like that and able to take shots you want to take. Mm-hmm. And like he said, everybody kind of left him alone. Well, that's kind of like, you know, clouds open up and sun shines down and great old sun shines right on your ass because you're gonna win that one, you know. When that happens, you know. Definitely, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, it fared out on my end or whatever. I mean, I had a few guys I was working with. I mean, we ran her down to the end, you know, and when it came down to the end, you know, she came alive at the end, you know. You got to do your business. I did a lot of wheeling, as I would say, you know, but you got to do that in these big shows. You can't go out and go 100 miles an hour right away and expect to be there at the end.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they had to make your, stomach roll when they told you you had to cut your tranny tunnel out.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy. They didn't even get to finish fully looking at the car. I talked back and forth with the head official there, back and forth. Nothing against him. He's doing his job. I totally understand it, you know.
Yeah.
He's a situation. My brother and a couple of the pit guys, you know, they were having a few beers, you know, and shit. They were pissed off about it, and I just kind of told them, I said, hey, let it go. We'll go back to the trailer, and we're going to regroup and figure out what we're going to do, you know. And we went back. I drove it on the trailer because I was going to load it. Then I'm like, you know what? I talked to Brzezinski. He was there, you know. I want to know if he had any place to deal with him. I was actually going to weld it up and run it in the fair class because I drove 4.5 hours, you know. I'm like, I ain't going to haul this thing back home. So thought about it. I talked to Rick, you know, and Rick came over and looked at it, and him and Dan will kind of talk back and forth, you know, and we hashed shit out, changed some shit here, and if I did this and did that, I could do this. Then it came down to the option if I had to cut half my tranny brace the way they wanted to and plus cut the tunnel in order for me to run, and I just said, hell with it. You know, I came this far and got so many hours. You know, I had 3 weeks in this car. It was a quick build. And, you know, I'm just fucking out in the shop, you know, every night. I drive log truck, you know, I'm working 12, 14 hours a day, get home, work on the shop, 3-4 hours, go in the house, eat supper, see my kids, maybe if I'm lucky, before they go to bed, you know, and come back out the next day, go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, get back home again. And I wanted to run either way, so I just said, hell with it. And I'm like, you know what, we're just going to cut it up and see what she's got.
Yep. Yeah, and that's you know,
it's a heck of a theory.
Yep. And it's just, it's awesome. It worked out that way, and you came home from the win, and it made it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. Then my wife, she is so into derbies, and so is my kids and stuff, you know. And it happened to be this weekend, my daughter had a ballet recital or whatever, but she had a rehearsal on Saturday, so my wife didn't come with on this one or whatnot. And she was heartbroken over that, so was my kids, you know. So I ran down there, and then I got over that, and I had to get up the next morning at 6 o'clock after having a few beers and pack everything up. We burned back home so I could make it back to my daughter's aunt's rehearsal by 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was quite the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome.
Let's rewind a little bit. I mean, how confident were you coming into Drive for Five, having won the Spring Explosion Show?
I mean, I really didn't know how it was going to go down. You know, there's a lot of guys that run Drive for Five that come to my hometown derby and bring 12 to 15 cars. And the last couple of years, they've been getting us on the deal, you know. And I went by myself. Chris Collins was talking about building a car, but he just ran short on time, and family comes first, you know, and he had some shit to take care of. And Daryl, he had to leave for a month to go for a job in the military or whatever. He had to go down to Georgia. My brother, he's just burnt out, you know. And my other guy that runs with his Brandon, he ran Rhythm Center there and pulled a win with the spring car that he couldn't run down there. And everybody's just burnt out, and I just figured, you know, it's the last year Rick was going to have this show. I've ran it every year except for one. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to try it, and I'm going to take a cheaper car because if shit gets wild in the heat, I figured I was just going to use her up and try to go for the Mad Dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Makes sense.
Definitely.
Why not? So, I mean, what else have you guys got planned? I mean, it feels like you've got some pretty good mojo going at this point. You going to try and branch out and hit a few more shows?
Oh, it's a toss-up. You know, I got to finish building a car for a kid that's running local here in a couple weeks. I got to finish that for him. And I just literally got home about 25 minutes after ago. I just finally started unloading the trailer. You know, it's supposed to rain up here. I don't want my shit sitting outside. But it's in the shop now and debating. I don't know if it's going to happen for sure or not, but I'm thinking about trying to get a car together for Mayhem yet.
Yeah?
Nice.
I like the sounds of that. So what would it mean to you to come away with wins at Spring Explosion, Drive for Five in its last year, and then turn around and you win Mayhem?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the hell to say. I don't even know what to say, I guess, on that.
Too early to start counting those?
If you win Mayhem, then you better go buy a lotto ticket because the shit's aligning for you and you're going to win something big.
Now, because it worked out so well for you, when you go to Mayhem, are you going to cut the transmission tunnel out right away?
I'll tell you right now, if I go to Mayhem, it wouldn't be in the bone stock class. No. I tried the bone stock class last year, and that ain't part of my description there. I just can't do that.
No. It's just not in your realm, huh?
I got patience, but I ain't got that much patience.
Right. Yeah, bone stock's not for a person that likes to drive hard.
Yeah, for sure on that. I mean, this weekend, I mean, I can't say I drove hard at all until the end, but, I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. How long did the feature last?
I've heard an hour. I've heard an hour and 20 minutes. I'm not for sure on that. I never got to watch tape. I didn't have my wife there to film it this time, so I don't even know how long it was.
Right.
Didn't run the stopwatch on the dash?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I heard there was a little bit of criticism. I heard the compact got a little rowdy as well with people throwing stuff out of the stands. I don't want to bring too much attention to it because those particular folks that get involved with that stuff aren't exactly heroes in my book. Ultimately, you can push the pace in the heats. We've talked about this before, but when it comes to the feature, when the money's out there, you can try everything you want. But, Ben, you said it a million times, those guys are going to go as fast as those guys want to go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to... like you said, I mean, they all know their cars. They know what their cars are like after they come out of the heat, you know, and depending on the rules. I mean, like Drive for Five, were you guys allowed fix-it plates or no?
No, we couldn't have no fix-it plates. If you had a bend or a crease or anything, you'd have to verify it through the head inspector.
Uh-huh.
And if you had a bend, the only thing I think you could do is maybe pound it in and try to shape it a little bit. But if you had a rip, you could weld a rip back together.
Yeah.
But you'd have to go through them guys first. But no fix-it plates or nothing like that.
Yeah, see, that makes a big difference. To me, that makes a big difference between heats and feature. If you're allowed fix-it plates, then, you know, you go out there and stand on it. Because a lot of guys, they'll build their cars, knowing they're going to put fix-it plates on. So after the heat, they can put the fix-it plates on, lock it in good. But when you're not allowed fix-it plates, I mean, you definitely got to drive. I mean, you got to wheel the car. You got to drive the car to what you know it can do. And like he said, he drove smart until the end, and then put some shots on to finish. And you know, that's the name of the game. I mean, it's that hasn't changed in the last 20 years. You know, 20 some years that I've been doing it. You know, it hasn't changed any. You know, it's just there's more spotlights on it now that brings it out.
What is it doing thing?
You know, and you know, like we say, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the only ones that are in control of that pace are the ones that are on the track. If you don't want somebody driving that pace, then put your foot down. You know, but guarantee you, once you're gone, the throttle stops are going to come out, and they're going to go back to the normal pace, which it is what it is. You know, it's you're never going to take that out of Demolition Derby, no matter what you do. There's going to be shows that have a pace. There's going to be other shows that are fast paced. There's certain areas of the country that drive a certain way. There's other areas that drive a certain way. It is what it is.
At this point, do you think that Drive for Five really is done?
I don't know. I've seen a couple people asterisk post on there, whatever. I didn't see the comment in the back yet. I don't know if it's done for sure or not. I hope not, because the track was phenomenal this year, you know. Last year it rained, I mean, for a day and a half straight, and the track was still good. And this year was better, you know. I mean, no rain. They put a little water on it. It was fast and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I hope not, but I guess I don't know for sure on an answer on that.
Right.
Did they have a real good turnout car-wise?
There was 41 cars.
I mean, that's...
It's becoming a very saturated time of year to try and squeeze, so if you're getting up over 40, I don't think you can be too upset about it. Depends on how your purse structure and your accounting is set up. If you're counting on cars to make your purse, 40 could be a little tough, but if you've got sponsors and stuff coming through, I guess it all comes down to what the accounting, how that plays out. I know there was.
I don't think it helped either. It's so close to Mayhem. You know, Mayhem's three weeks away or four weeks. You know, and people are going to that for $20,000. So I'm sure that didn't help it at all either for the car count.
Right. And it's becoming a very, very dense time of the year. It's almost like summer is your time off. Your county fair time is your time off. You're on two or three big shows. Whatever's left over is what you go run at your county fairs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I hope that you do well at Mayhem if you choose to build a car. Have you got something sitting around ready to build for it?
No, it'd be a fresh one.
I understand that, but what fresh car that you've got there are you going to build?
Probably all I usually run is 9802s. I got a 9802 Lincoln sitting down there and a bunch 9802 Vic. So one of the two, I'll have to go down and figure out which one's the next one to get molested.
Yep.
Andy, go ahead and ask him. Ask him. How's that? How does the 9802 compare to?
You're gonna embarrass Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
Well, Zach, man, I appreciate your teammate shooting us your phone number so we could get together. I'm glad that you've done so well here, and wish you the best going into Mayhem here in a couple weeks.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. If you're gonna let me go, can I thank a few sponsors?
I was just about to set that up.
Okay, go ahead. You guys go ahead.
Yep. You. Zach just became the host.
Yep.
It totally threw me off. When he did that, I lost my train of thought. Zach, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of here before we part ways?
What was that?
Who would you like to thank?
Oh, who would I like to thank? I lost it for a second. I'd like to thank Joker, Matt. He's been awesome for spring. He's a wonderful sponsor. I'd like to thank Groff Automotive. That's who built my motors or whatever. He does an outstanding job. I mean, up in the last couple weeks, you know, I had a little bit of issue with the carburetor. Sent me numerous carburetors, you know, just so I got some on hand. He did my fuel setup. I had to switch to electric fuel pump because I switched to a key cradle and shit. And he made all that up for me, measurements and everything. He did that for me. It worked out awesome, so I got to say a special thanks to Grop. And Key Inc., I mean, I run the cradle, tranny braces, shifters, I mean, you name it, you know, motor mounts. I mean, they've helped me out a ton, too, you know. And Joker, obviously, with tie rods and ball joint. I'd like to thank my wife and kids for dealing with this. No, they'll pick for, you know, if it wasn't for them guys, I don't know how I'd get half these cars.
Let's hit on that. Not to pick on one motor builder or another, but you said something about the change in the carburetors. But, you know, Ben, you've been around this a long time. Zach, you've done it a long time. It seems more and more like carburation is becoming this extreme focus. Obviously, you want the cars to run at their optimum, and if the carburetor's off, they're not going to. We saw a ton of carburetor tuning being done at May Mania. Some of the conversations where the people weren't set up for the elevations, they didn't make those adjustments. But it seems to me that the attention being put on carburetors that we've seen this year is far and above anything that we've seen in the past.
I don't think it was so much of that. It's the motor that I ran at Drive for Five or whatever. It's 6 years old.
Oh.
Up or whatever. And just, you run it, you know, you get dirt in it and shit, you know. Uh-huh. And you get
right.
This stupid shit, you know. And I mean, he sent me different carburetors, and I put them on, and they work awesome. It's just day and age, you know, run them so many years. I mean, it's going to need, it's no different than a regular driver, you know. It needs a tune up or it needs something, you know, and just a chunk of dirt can screw the whole carburetor up, you know.
Yeah, well, and he hit the nail on the head. I mean, a lot of guys expect, you know, once you get a motor and everything else, the carburetor set up, they just run it. You know, the carburetor's just like anything else. I mean, like he said, you get dust, dirt, mud, you know, all sorts of shit in it, you know. If it, take the air cleaner off, next thing you know, something's getting in it, you know. But it's the heart of the motor, sure. You know. That's pretty much gonna, if you're gonna have issues, that's the pinpoint issue to start with. And but yeah, it seems like a lot of people, I think, no matter what, anybody, no matter what, is eventually gonna have carburetor problems.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I ran this motor that is actually in my drive car at Fall Brawl last year down there or whatever, and just towards the end it started loading up a little bit, and mm-hmm. I talked to Scott and told him what was going on. He's like, oh, not a problem, you know, we'll get taken care of. I gave him the car back at Topeka at Blizzard Bash, and mm-hmm. It took him a little bit to get back to me, but I told him I wasn't in a hurry and put it on here, and it's like brand new again. And mm-hmm. well, however long the feature was at Drive for Five, it never killed one time.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. Interesting. I mean, obviously running in a dusty, dirty, sandy, and muddy, sloppy, and hot environment that you've got in a demolition derby car, it's not the kindest on anything in terms of those internal components.
Yeah. You got, and Scott Gropp was the one that actually said this years ago, when a guy I built cars for here bought several of his motors in New York, and basically was asking me all about air cleaners and this. You had these big fancy high-rise air cleaners. You had these KN filters. He goes, you know what? He goes, General Motors spent millions of dollars in research the air cleaners they had on the cars. So wouldn't you think you'd just want to use one of them air cleaners? You know, and it makes 100% sense, especially right. In the atmosphere we're in. Right. You know, a lot of guys have the big open filters, and then they put the pre-cleaners on them, you know, the foam on them and everything else, make them breathe more. Mm. But there's a lot of guys, a lot of veteran guys that run a stock GM air cleaner on them.
Sure.
And don't have any issues.
Right.
I'm not a veteran by no means, but I'm a young guy here yet. And mm-hmm. And we run the stock air cleaners, Tubero ones or whatever.
Yep.
They work phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to 2004, 2005. I remember
the
high-rises.
People were running the air cleaners on top of, like, coffee cans and stuff. No, that's just all gone by the wayside. We haven't seen that in a while.
That's just crazy stupid. But, you know, put a soup can on top of your freaking carburetor. Give me a break. You know, I just wanted to say that. But.
How about Hillborn? We haven't seen any cars with Hillborn yet.
I tried to get my Uncle Ramey to basically let me run his ESS Sprinter motor.
Right.
And his 360 sprint car motor that had Hillborn injection on it.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me like I was on drugs.
Mark Wolf, he ran that Cadillac. This has got to be back in like 2011 maybe. He ran a 71-73 Cadillac with a blower on it.
Mm-hmm.
Ran a blower in the Derby, which was, that's just absurd. But mm-hmm. he basically said, yeah, I don't care what happens. Mm-hmm. He's out there to make junk. And he did.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Zach, man, again, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a while. Congratulations on the win at Drive for Five.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Like I said, feels good to be on there finally, you know. I didn't know if I was ever going to get a chance.
Well, anytime. You got our number now. Call us up.
Sounds good, man. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Too. We'll see you later. There goes Zach Johnson. Winner of the drive for five. I got to get Tim Clark on the phone. We got to take a break. Ben, thank you for helping me out a ton. I realized as I was starting to look forward to the first break that we were taking, we didn't have any of the stuff for the T-Bone Memorial saved from last week, and I had to rebuild it while we were talking with Zach there. So thank you.
Okay. All right.
But on the topic of the T-Bone Memorial, the Tony Atchison T-Bone Memorial on the 10th and 11th of June coming up. That is one of Steve Turlow's Lunatic Promotions events. It's going to be at the Southern Iowa Speedway in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Full-size teams are going for 5,000 to win, 2,000 for second, 1,500 for third in the team scoring. Compacts based on 10 teams are going to have $3,000 waiting for the winners, 1,500, 1,000 for third place. Compact trucks, if they get six of them, they're going to go 800, 500, 300 old school and mod classes each going for 2,000 to win, 1,000 for second, 500 for third. Every class is going to have lunatic awards. The payouts could go up even more if the car counts warrant it. It's a guaranteed purse now as it sits. The T-Bone Memorial is the largest demolition derby in the state of Iowa. It's ranked as one of the top 10 derbies in the nation each of the last 2 years, paying over $25,000 in prize money. If you have questions, get a hold of Steve Turlow, 641-521-6659. And again, Lunatic's going to be with us for the month from when we went to Albert Lea up through their event on the 10th and 11th, helping us with some of our trackside communications along with E2 demolition sliders. Thanks, Elvis. Caledonia Crash and Jam Festival. Boy, there's some momentum getting built around this show.
Oh,
holy cow.
I've seen the raffle car.
There's, yeah. 70, was it 75?
Two-door caddy.
Sharp-looking car, too. Andy Wolfanger knows his way around some GMs. It's going to be a real nice built car. And all you have to do is show up and buy admission, and you automatically get a ticket for the raffle car. They're not selling
16 years and older.
16 years and older. Not too bad. Caledonia Crash and Jam Festival Compacts, 1,100 to win, 350 for second, 200 to start the feature. That's from 5th on down. The full size are 1,400 to win, 450 for second, 300 to start the feature, 500 to win in the junk run, more than $1,700 in prize money. Ken Swingle, 585-447-7939. Caledonia Crash and Jam Festival, July the 16th, Livingston County Fairgrounds in Caledonia. And again, you've got a shot to drive.
Yeah, I want to.
A Cadillac.
Andy needs to put his Baldwin motor in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that one. I don't know if he's going to want to do that, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. Yeah. But we'll be right back.
That?
What?
When's the
Caledonia?
Date?
July the 16th.
Shit.
Okay. We'll talk about it during the break. We'll be right back.
It's truck month at Latham Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You can get the best deals of the year on all of our Ram trucks in inventory. Plus, if you're a current or past customer at Latham Hills, we're offering you an additional $250 customer loyalty rebate. And if you live in northern Utah, we have an additional $250 great neighbor rebate, too. So during truck month, we have a new 2016 Ram 1500 SLT Crew Cab. And after dealership discounts, customer cash, and truck month rebate, it's yours for only $39,115. We're going to take advantage of these savings during truck month at Latham Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Kings of Old School returns for their second installment of Spring Chaos, June 11th and 12th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. Last year, it was Jonathan Furr coming away with the inaugural title. The show promises as much action as last year, springing into a two-day format for the first time. Rules and payout are posted online at kingsofoldschool.net. The Kings of Old School team event will be center stage again, moving to the Delaware County Fairgrounds in Walton, New York, as part of the Kings of Old School Regional Championship Program, September 4th. And 5th, the county and event winners from around the Northeast will be eligible to run during this championship event. For more details, again, jump online and visit kingsofoldschool.net or visit the group on Facebook.
Smash It Demolition Derbies has partnered with Crash Course for the duration of the 2016 season. Offering more than 40 shows throughout Ohio, they are the promotion group that oversees the annual Bash for Cash. Scheduled for May 27th to the 29th, the Memorial Day Weekend Classic is now 3 days long and will feature three main events paying in excess of $10,000 to each of three drivers. The DEC Header Compacts run Friday night with their feature set for Sunday paying $10,000. The DerbyTees.com Turn Back the Clock and Big Rock Mira 80s and Newer will also pay first place more than $10,000 in each division on Sunday night.
light trucks, youth cars, the wire class, 80s newer wire class, full-size trucks, street stocks, and 5-foot full-size outlaws for the schedule as the show moves to its new home at the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio. Again, that's the Bash for Cash 2016, May 27th to the 29th in Chillicothe, Ohio. For more on the Bash for Cash or Smash It's County Fair schedule, visit www.smashitderby.com.
And lastly here, before we get back to the program, October the 8th, 4 o'clock start time, the 2016 Hog Wild Fall Brawl. Excited to be part of that one. Formally introducing this one on the show, we're going to be down there live streaming. They support three charities down there, the Matheson College Fund, the Fisher House Foundation, and the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Pro Limiteds, Wire Class, the Superstocks, Compacts, Youth Class, Trucks, Power Wheels, RC Derby, three raffle cars. One of them is a four-door 76 Impala, which is awesome. It's going to be at the Stoneboro Fairgrounds in Stoneboro, Pennsylvania, on top of the Derby stuff. They got the show and shine with cars, trucks, diesels, imports, rat rods, barbecue fest, live music. Adult admission is $11. Kids under 12 are just $6. Not too bad, huh? No, what? What'd you say, Ben?
Day after my birthday.
You going? You have to.
It's day after.
You have to go.
As long as I'm not too old to go.
As long as you're not too old to go.
I don't think one day is going to matter.
Nah, it won't matter. Joining us here on the hotline, we have the promoter of Bash for Cash coming up this weekend in the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio, Tim Clark. Tim, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Doing great. You're you excited about this? You finally got all 600 cars lined up? You got all their names on sheets of paper and ready to go?
I think so, yeah. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be exciting. And it's gonna be a great show.
Mm-hmm. I see the raffle car. You finally got the raffle car all done.
I got the raffle car done. Nick got the raffle mini car done. Mm-hmm. So I think both of them need a little more stickers, and they're both ready to rock.
Jesus, the one looks like a billboard right now.
Yeah.
Last year you said
you got to paint that raffle car black instead of white. You got to be able to blend in with that. You got to be able to.
See, you know, I'm trying to get out of the trend of Ohio with the black stuff, so I'm trying to show them that cars can be painted different colors.
Ben, I don't know if you remember hanging out in the inspection line, but all the black cars that came through had a lot of different colors on it by the time they were going back to the pits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of fluorescent on there.
Pinks and greens,
yep.
And orange.
Pinks and greens, yeah.
But I'm excited to getting out there. Last year, Tim, when we talked a couple times, you kind of laughed off the fact that you had 560 or 570 entries. You didn't think how it could possibly get any bigger. Now this year you have over 600 cars registered. You have the Power Wheels and lawnmowers not even included in that count. And on top of that, you had so many Wire Class cars, you had to add a second and had enough to possibly even add a third. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually stopped it at the second. I could probably went to the third heat of them. Uh-huh. But I can see the Wire Class kind of getting something a little better sometime soon. But, you know, that'll be a later date.
So is that another 10,000 win class for next year?
I'm not going to say a word.
No,
yeah, Russ is standing right there ready to club him.
Is Russ right there with you?
No, I think Russ was here, but he left. So I'm not going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
He left because he knew you were coming on here, and he was just waiting, just waiting.
So, but, no, this show, it's just so big. I mean, I have to say thanks to all my help. I mean, that's the main thing is – I couldn't do it without my help. I mean, from the gate people, from all the inspectors, I mean, this show is just a beast to put on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of 42 derbies you've got this year with Smash It?
Wow. Yeah, something like that, yeah. And it's the first one. That's the bad thing about it.
Well, it's the way to kick off the season.
Yeah, they start...
The way to, you know, grease the gears, I guess.
Well, you get this one out of the way, and the rest of them are just like nothing.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, after this one, you're going to see all these cars over again. You've already inspected them. How hard could it be?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Couple.
Yeah. As soon as they leave the track and go back to the shop, you start all over again.
Exactly. That's the problem.
But, I mean, if you think about it, NASCARs, they don't wait for their biggest show of the year to be at the end. They start with the biggest one. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do it that way. You've got as many dates for derbies as NASCAR does races.
Yeah, this is like the NASCAR Derby right here. I mean, this is easily the largest event in the country.
Yeah. There's
easily.
Moving to Chillicothe, does it give you more? Are we saying that right? Chillicothe or Chillicothe?
It's Chillicothe, yeah. I mean, you can kind of, I guess, say it a couple different ways.
Chipotle. Yeah, Ben keeps calling it Chipotle. I don't know.
It's like Chipotle.
I don't know if that's any better. But I know space was a moderate issue last year for you. Moving to Ross County, it gives you the diversity that you needed, made sure you had enough room for everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger fairgrounds. It's a lot better grandstands, more covered, more seating in the grandstands. Mm-hmm. Camping is 5 times as much. I mean, this fairgrounds here actually is about the biggest fairgrounds in Ohio with camping. So I would never run out of camping at this fairgrounds.
Oh, don't ever say never.
Yep. Knock on wood, sir. Knock on wood.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
I mean,
there's everybody. The only thing that I've seen on Facebook for the last 3 weeks
has been camping
and bash for cash. I mean, you may need more camping space.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see, I guess.
Is that a nice problem to have?
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have. I mean, it's hard to keep it going. I mean, you know, with the rules and with inspections and stuff like that. I mean, it's a big beast to tame, I guess. Uh-huh. I mean, you can't make everybody happy, but you try to, and you just keep going.
Well, you've That's already. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I feel you've already, Tim. It helps a lot too because you and Russ have already set a precedent on this show. And, you know, guys, you know as well as anybody, guys, if they're not pushing the envelope every show or every year, then you know, they're not being competitive. So, but you guys...
I mean, I'm not
you
saying,
guys,
you know, everybody does.
Yeah,
I mean,
what, I'm
know,
say, what I'm saying
you build,
is... the
You build cars, and when you build cars, you know, you stretch the rules, but you have to be willing to fix it when you get
there, and
you know, go from there.
What I'm saying is, you guys set the precedent. The blatancy is pretty much eliminated. You know what I mean?
Blatantly like plating the frames and doing all stuffing the frames. Yeah. That's pretty much over with by now.
Yep.
But I mean, there's a lot of little gray areas, what derby drivers call it.
Yep.
And you know, so. They'll try it.
Right.
But, I mean, that's why I feel some of the best inspectors in this nation that helped me from old derby drivers to, you know, from everything. And, you know, they'll look at the cars, every car the same, and they go from there.
Yeah. Yep.
I just can't believe that there's going to be 600 cars wrecked in the span of
three
days.
I can. That's awesome. I can. I mean, that year I went out there and helped. I mean, it was nowhere near that, but it was like, Jesus Christ, is it ever going to end? You know,
in 3 days, I mean, it's going to be a task to get everything done in three days. I mean, I'm going to have two different whole sets of inspectors, one group of guys doing many cars, and one group of guys on Friday night, you know, going to do the turn back the clock in 80, you know, the 80 cars, and we'll go from there. Then the group that inspects the mini cars is going to be flagging when we do the heats on Friday night for the minis. So it's going to be a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. How far are you away from going to a 4-day show?
I can't say. You know, I don't want to go 4 days, and Russ definitely does not want to go 4 days.
Well,
I mean, you know, I think we'll be all right. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of work for my guys. I mean, hats off to them. I mean, if it wasn't for my inspectors, I mean, they worked their tail off. Don't, you know, when you got to look at 600 cars, and some of these cars you look at three times because you get three times and you're out, you know, you figure it up how many times they're looking at these cars. And I actually talked to some of the guys. We had a little meeting out to my house about inspections and stuff like that, about lists to make it easier on them, and most of them's thinking that it wouldn't make it easy on them, but so I don't know. Because I was going to look into lists and all that stuff like everybody else is doing, but some of them don't want it.
You'd have. I mean, I kind of agree with your guys. I mean, because if they're used to ground teching, then there's certain areas. But what you run into, and Russ touched on it last year, I think, when we talked to him about it. It comes down to, there's actually, a time frame. I mean, a time amount. I mean, for the amount of time it takes you to put that car in a lift and raise it up the air and raise it down, you add that time up to over 600 cars. You know, you'd have to have multiple lifts, of course, yeah. But say 250 cars that go up and down the lift, you never have enough time.
Right. I mean, you know, we've been to a couple of big shows. We've been up to Mayhem. We've been up to Blizzard Bash, and we timed them. And it was probably 3 to 4 minutes from the time to you get on the lift, you get raised up, you get underneath the, you know, and you add 3 minutes every car.
Yep.
You know, you do the math.
It's like I said, it's I definitely agree, because when I was teching, I mean, that's all I did is ground tech around the shows around here when I worked for the promoter. And, you know, I'm not I don't have a half keg on my gut hanging off. So, I mean, I can get underneath cars and, you know, I'm pretty skinny. So, I mean, I can float under there and get under where I wanted to go. And, you know, so I definitely agree. I think that's definitely smart. I mean, to stay away from the lifts, actually. I mean, you could always have.
What about the drive over ramp?
Drive over ramp, I think, is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
In a
hard
way.
To see.
Because it's kind of the same amount of time by the time guys go up there. You know, Ohio's bulldog style, they have in the back, drawing the backs down. You know, there's guys out in Utah, I mean, with that ramp, guys' spring shackles were hanging up on the ramp lip, you know, so you still had your hang-ups. But if you got a set of guys that are comfortable ground teching, that do a thorough job ground teching, then there's no faster way.
Could be very swift.
There's no faster way. The only other faster way would be to, if you had pits, you know, drive in where, like, the big trucks and stuff where you drive in and they got the pit where they work on. You know,
right.
If you had a facility where you could drive in and you had a couple guys down in the pit, so it was a smooth transition, everything's level.
They could stay down there. Yeah.
But
rent out another municipal building. How hard can it be?
What's that?
Rent out another municipal building. How hard can it be?
Yeah. Just concrete, though.
Yeah. You could build one.
But, no, it's, like Chris said, I mean, I'm looking forward. Like I said, I missed last year. I'm looking forward to get back out there this year and have some fun.
It's going to be a great weekend. I mean, everybody's put on Facebook about the weather was going to be bad, but now they just changed it where they're calling for no rain on Friday and a 30% chance of rain on Saturday and no chance of rain on Sunday. So it's going to pass.
Awesome. Nothing to worry about.
Awesome. Now, is the track equivalent to the same size as Courthouse, or is it a little bit bigger?
We made the track a little bigger than what Courthouse was.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be a pretty good track.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, if it rains, I mean, I'm going to have a lot of equipment to take care of the track.
Right.
We're going to make the track good. I mean, we're going to have some actions. We're going to do that Mad Dog. I don't know if I told you guys about. We're going to run the heats for 15 minutes and stop it. And if we, you know, if my guys feel that there's a guy deserving the Mad Dog, then we're going to let the crowd vote on it, you know, kind of a cheer. If he deserves it, then if he gets it, we're going to pull him off the track, give him $500 and the Mad Dog trophy, and he goes straight to the feature where he don't have to run the heat the rest of the night.
Awesome.
So,
awesome, man. That's
good.
That
might
cool.
help the heat to be a little faster pace.
Right.
So,
nice.
We're trying different things.
Nice.
You know, so.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I don't think you'll have to do that for big classes, because I think the old iron wire class, you'll have to stop at 2 minutes if you wanted to do that.
Well, we're not doing it for the old, you know, because that class is kind of, yes, it is. It's probably the best class at the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
new
guys kind of get busy quick, and, you know, and I guess this year it looks like I'm going to see what New York's all about with driving hard, because I think I got a lot of them coming just for that class. So,
yeah, it's coming. It's gonna you'll see it.
And I think I got a famous guy actually coming for that class, but I don't know if he wants his name be mentioned or nothing.
No, he's perfectly fine with
Decker,
it.
But I mean,
I thought you were talking about Hank Pensick. Yeah, you wait. You wait. There's going to be...
There's some surprises in order for
it's
you,
gonna be, it's going to be something.
I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be an awesome weekend. Yep. I mean, I don't know if I'll get to see very much of it because I'll be doing everything else, but, you know...
Just keep
it'll be crazy.
Just keep the four-wheeler or golf cart gassed up, and then you can pop into the track anytime you want.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the 150,000 other things I got to be doing, so. All
right. Yeah. Crazy. You'll have to bring a tractor-trailer load of ice in.
Dude, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little gas station right in front of the fairgrounds, and I told the lady that owns the gas station, I was like, you better stock up. But,
They better just have a beer truck sitting there. Yeah.
This has a Easy Rider Rodeo at this fairgrounds, so the whole town knows about people.
Okay.
You know, and how many people come to the town and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's crazy.
Well,
at least embrace it.
Well, that helps. I mean, it helps because if a town's oriented with large events, then you don't have the little nitpick hassles. You know, guys are coming to have a good time. You got to be respectful when you have a good time, but still, guys that are going to have a good time, and you don't need a bunch of tight asses. Basically,
it's going to be a great party, a great demolition derby. I mean, everybody's going to have a great time. Everybody should come out to see it.
And we're gonna be doing like we did every year so far. We'll be talking about it 364 days later, you know, until the day before the next one, you know. So I
don't think we've ever had a podcast that we didn't talk about Bash for Cash in one way, shape, or form, and compare it in some way to whatever we were talking about.
Yes, constantly compare Bash for Cash. I mean, and it's just I kind of have an attachment to it just because in different ways. But, I mean, it's just awesome. And what Tim and Russ are doing every single year in adding this and giving drivers bonuses here, you know, benefits and bonuses, whether it's payouts or throwing this in or throwing that in. And it's just – you just continue to push the envelope and everybody's trying to catch up.
We had some conversations with Tim in the off season about the RC Derby. RC Derby is now going to pay $1,000 at Bash for Cash. And listen to this. Smash It's on board, Team JMW, Big Rock, Crash Course, Derby Tees, Cow RC, Reckless Abandoned, Derby Inc. Magazine, Boca Bearing, Catskill Fabian Performance, DK Derby Tire, Ultimate Derby. Those are all people that are just involved with the RC side of things.
Wow. Oh, yeah, the sponsor side of this is...
It's crazy how everything has just exploded. And, again, it's that constant reinvention that continues to put Smash It and Bash for Cash right there at the top of the summer list. It's the biggest outdoor derby in the country. You can't compare anything to it. If you haven't been to it, you got to go to it. Mm-hmm. And it is very likely that Tim or Russ will go by you on a golf cart, and if you stop and say hi, they'll stop and say hi to you back.
Yep.
They're the most down-to-earth, easy-going promoters that we come across when we go to Ohio. And we're very fortunate to be paired up with Smash It and Bash for Cash as long as we have.
Right. I mean, you know, and you got to think of, you know, it just ain't the promoter that puts this derby on. It's the fans. It's the drivers. It's the tech guys. I mean, if you didn't have the derby drivers and the fans there, it wouldn't be like it is. I mean, you know, so hats off to everybody. You know, it just ain't one person makes this event so big and so great. You know, and that's how I always look at it, you know. If you didn't have the fans, you didn't have the drivers, you wouldn't have a show. So.
Well, that's why you guys are where you're at. because of that mindset, Tim. Yep. Because you and Russ's mindset like that, I mean, that's where you're at, you know? Where you are, where you're at. Whatever. Like, that just sounded like shit.
Well, I think...
What are you going to do?
He got the point.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that you wanted to make mention of here while we're together? I know we got to get with Nick King here in a few minutes. We're going to talk with him about the Brandon Reinhart raffle car.
Just, I mean, the main thing, I just want to thank all my help... my officials, my gate people, from the parking lot people to everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, hats off to them guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Russ does a great job. My nephew Fatty, he does a great job. You know, all my other guys that's with me all summer long, Jacob, Chuck, everybody like that. You know, then I got people coming in, all my derby drivers that help me inspect. You know, it's just, it's a list that I couldn't, you know, it'd take me 3 hours to thank everybody, you know, from all the sponsors and, mm-hmm. you know, Big Rock, Nearat, Derby Tees, Deck Headers. I mean, it's just unbelievable. If I didn't have everybody like that on board, this show wouldn't be what it is.
Right. Very true. Well, Tim, we look forward to catching up with you here soon. We'll be getting on in probably late Friday afternoon, and then Ben and Josh will be getting there Saturday. We're certainly looking forward to another fun weekend out in Ohio at Basher Cash.
All right. Sounds great.
Tim, thanks
Hopefully
again.
Everybody comes out and watches it.
Oh, they will.
They're going to come out in droves. Hope your ticket takers are ready.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Thanks,
right,
man.
See you, Tim.
Catch you with us soon. Once again, it is the Ross County Fairgrounds, 344 Fairgrounds Road in Chillicothe, right?
Chipotle.
Yeah.
So helpful. So I guess we'll roll the dice on this phone. It's holding up all right.
What's that?
This phone.
Oh, yeah.
I figured the phone would be dead by now.
It hasn't triple beep yet.
Nope. It doesn't. When it makes up its mind, it's all done working. It makes up its mind that it's all done working. So I think we hit all of our ads. We're going to get Nick King on here next to talk a little bit about the raffle cart that he's built. It's going directly into the 10,000 win compact feature, which is not too shabby. Hey, Nick, can I put you in? We're running a little bit late on Nick, too. I'm glad he answered his phone. He could have very easily just picked it up and then hung up the phone again. Did we lose you, Nick?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
He's here. He's just listening to you talk.
Yeah, just listen to me make noise. But, all right, we got Nick King in here to talk a little bit about the raffle car that you put together as part of a benefit for Brandon Reinhart and Team Brandon. I wondered if, first off, you could just talk us through a little bit of how this whole thing has come to pass. That car that you've got has had a lot of different hands on it, and now it's got to a point where it's done and ready to go.
Yeah, basically, a while back I got talking to J.C. Molly's from Florida, and I heard about the guys out in Utah building the raffle car, and basically I told them guys, I said, you guys can ship it out to my house, and I'll finish creasing it and doing the trunk and all that, and then the cost that it was going to cost us to ship it that far, we just decided for me to get Illumina and go forward with building it for Brandon and his family.
I think it's an awesome deal.
Yeah.
Where is this car going to be? Is it going to be on Vendors Row so people can see it and buy tickets there?
I'm thinking it's going to be right next to the wagon. I'm not sure where Tim and them's going to take care of all that once we get it there. It's going to be the same prices and everything for the wagon, so I'm sure it'll be right there next to the wagon, wherever they're going to have it parked all weekend.
Mm-hmm. I think this is an awesome cause. I don't know if you saw the pictures, Ben, but they've got ribbons cut in the tailgate mm-hmm. or the tailgate in the trunk lid mm-hmm. for it, and it's a pretty neat looking piece. You did a real nice job building that.
Thank you. Yeah, we whenever we started building it, I was like, man, I'm gonna make this probably one of the nicest raffle cars that I can make. You know, my buddies are like, oh, well, you know, most raffle cars, they don't pinch them or nothing. I was like, well, this one's getting everything done to it. We're not gonna cut no corners. We're gonna make this thing a nice piece for them and see if we can raise as much money as possible for Brandon and his family and see what we can get. Maybe Tim will let us do it, you know, for the next few years, step mm-hmm. up to a bigger and better car maybe next year, Mustang or Pacer or something of that sort.
Whoa.
I like those words.
Well, he definitely taking the time and giving it all the bells and whistles and just like if you're going to run a car, definitely benefits in the long run because people see that and people actually feel like, you know, because raffle cars have that persona. You know, they're just thrown together, you know, and this and that. But I'm going to tell you, neither one of them. I mean, that one or the wagon, I mean, it has top-notch stuff. and it, the return shows. I mean, people definitely feel that, hey, they have a chance to contend, to compete.
Yeah.
On top of that, the whole the benefit in doing it for a cause and everything else is just I love that. I mean, I'm glad people glad people do that and to try to help other people and you know, everybody, you know, everybody buys tickets, you know, everybody donates in that way, you know, and I think it's great.
Yeah, my wife, I actually had to contact Tim. I was like, hey, you know, because I'm actually official in the compacts that whole weekend too, so I'm going to be pretty busy. And I decided to contact Tim. I said, you know, my wife, she may want to buy tickets for this car because she's, you know, she's put up with me building the thing for a while now. And me and my wife talked, to some miracle way, she gets her ticket drawn. We're going to go ahead and sell it right then and there and donate the money right back. So
nice.
That's awesome.
We've had some luck winning raffle cars. I won the one at Urban Destruction, so maybe we'll win this one.
That's cool.
Man.
That is awesome.
Wouldn't be so bad, would it?
No.
So, do you get to take that car through tech inspection yourself?
Well, Russ is going to inspect it.
Russ is going to inspect it?
Yeah. It's fully to the rules. Like I said, even though I'm inspecting, I made sure that way if someone has a problem with a compact car, we can easily walk over that and say, well, this is how the rule was supposed to be, and you went this way with it, or vice versa.
Right. Yeah, it definitely helps to have a showpiece you can go off of, that's for sure.
And I definitely wouldn't go to a raffle car that I wouldn't run it. So that's another reason why I do it the way I did. Like I said, it's a nice piece. I wouldn't be scared to jump in and go front to front or whatever with anything on that track come Sunday in the feature.
Now, do you think being a tech out there and being out there in Ohio, do you think that compact class, do you think it's going to be flooded with Luminous, that body style, or you think it's going to be an even mix between that and, you know, like the Mustang 2s and the Pacers and stuff like that?
It's going to be a mixture, I'm sure. We got the guys from up north Ohio, they like the Luminous. The guys from out west, you know, I think Illinois, Indiana, stuff like that. I think a lot of them guys like the Luminous and the W bodies, but a lot of the other guys coming from Kentucky and, you know, local here in Ohio, they're going to be bringing the Mustang 2s, Pacers, Pinos, Fox Body Mustangs. I mean, it's going to be a mixture of just about everything, but mainly you're going to see W bodies and, you know, the Pacers and Pinos and Mustangs.
Right. It'd be awesome because, you know, you got one group say that W bodies are the shit and they're the way to go, and then you got the other guys say, nah, they're not as tough. And so that's gonna, anybody that's coming to watch, I mean, it's definitely, you'll be able to,
they'll find out,
you figure out real fast. Yeah.
Then you got Avalons and Camry wagons in there too. Mm-hmm. People are gonna be pushing for those.
You know, so that it's just every class is just going to be insane out there. You know, the compacts.
I think the compacts are going to surprise everybody. They're not going to. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of soft shoeing at all.
I don't think you're going to monkey around.
They're going to go wide open the whole time, regardless of being heat constantly featured. Yeah. I think they're just going to go wide open the whole time. I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a bunch of those pop cans get destroyed.
Yeah.
And like, we don't have it on there, but the Conti will be Saturday, so. And so the guys, you know what I mean, if they something stupid happens, they got another shot. I know it's not on the agenda.
Right.
That we wasn't sure exactly where we was going to run it at, but Tim and Russ decided we were going to do it Saturday right before the 80 and newer and the old style. So some, you know, the fans that's getting there early, they'll have something to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Or before the big show starts, while the last minute inspections and all that good stuff. So
yeah, get them pumped up. That'll get them wound up. Watch compacts after going 100 mile an hour hitting each other.
Yeah, I try to get Tim and them to do the 15-minute stop thing for the compacts, but they wasn't for it. They said the compacts are a little too small, and they'll have 10, 15 cars out there they'd have to choose from. So
yeah,
the compact class, we're not going to do the 15-minute stop time. That's just for the old style and the new style. But I still think compacts are going to be – they'll be definitely getting crazy out there for the first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, he wouldn't go for the old iron wire class either, stop in 15 minutes.
It's not going to last 15 minutes.
Yeah, he wouldn't go for that.
Yeah.
I think it's just they're doing a mad dog out of that, right?
I assume.
Yeah,
so.
Last year I think the winner got a car or something for the Mad Dog, or the winner.
Well,
of the
Klinger won it, and he got the Mad Dog too. But
okay,
yeah, it's gonna be wild this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely what I look forward to all year. Definitely coming out of winter time, and you know, we only live an hour and 30 minutes away, so it's
nice. Better than 7 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to do that trip a little faster than 7.5 hours.
Yeah, it's probably about 6.
Yeah, hammer down.
Yeah.
Time to go. Well, what else have you got planned for the summer? Once you get past Bash for Cash, you've got a lot of months to wreck cars in between then and winter again.
Well, we're not sure yet. When we got our county fair that pays good money, we do the bone stock over here where the gas tank's underneath and the battery's still up front, so we'll hit that show up, and then I think I'm going to link up with Tim and them and help them for the summer here and there, and move the local shows and help them inspect, because they've got shows where they're running 2 shows a night when it comes fair time, so I may help them a little bit in the summer. And then since I did this for Brandon in October, me and my wife, we've been trying to plan our 1-year wedding anniversary, so JC Molly, the one that actually bought the Lumina, he's building me a car, so I'm gonna go down to Florida and Derby in October, and
sweet,
after that I'm gonna go spend my time on the beach for my 1-year wedding anniversary.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
Leave it to JC Molly, boy. He's an awesome dude, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've never talked to him until here recently, you know, a few months back whenever we got going for this Brandon Reinhardt car, and since then he's been nothing but nice to me. Just, you know, if I need anything he ships it, or if I need just whatever. And then he told me about building that car. He said, if you're coming down, I'll get you. I said, I'll be there.
Yep.
I'm planning around it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a super nice guy for sure.
Yeah.
Real good dude. Well, Nick, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of here before we sign off, or anything else
that we
missed?
Just for all the donations and all the vendors, I know the old style's got the all the big name guys, so with this compact, I try to get some of the smaller name vendors to get their names out there. I try to, you know, I got DEC Headers, you know, they're the main guys that hooked us up with the bumper and all that. Then I got Rance Peg, gave us the gas pedal and everything. WCR Fab, they got us the shifter. Local guy that's selling tanks, he got the gas tank for us. Buskill Rubber with their wheels and tires. Drew Hall out of Illinois sent me some rim guards. Miller Graphics for the decals, just all them guys, and then the Sciopas, they bought the carburetor for it, then J.C. Molly and John Cash, then last but not least, my brother J.D. and my good buddy Nick. Without them guys, it would have been rough to do it by myself. Every day after work, they was there busting their tails on it, so see what we can do and make a very good profit for Brandon and his family. Hopefully he starts feeling better soon.
Nice.
What are your thoughts on those DEC bumpers? I mean, in terms of building the compact with the rules that you've got, what are your thoughts on bumpers, how you mount them, the DEC bumper that's on the front of it? So, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm just now learning about these Luminas, but I guess if you build a stock Lumina, you want a flat bumper, so that's why I kind of got with DEC. Supposedly these Luminas, if it's a stock show, you want a flat bumper. If you can do something to it, you want a pointy, but...
Yep.
I mean, what I love about the DEC, it's just easy to mount. Everything's flat on the back, easy to load. You just order it without gussets, and you can load it however you want. You ain't got some big crazy point where you're going to rip somebody's leg off if you actually hit them in the driver's door. You know what I mean? It's a good bumper that's easy to stuff. It ain't got no crazy point. You know, it's got a great backing on it to weld to. You can cut it off, grind it flat, and it's just like brand new again, instead of these older ones where you gotta, you know,
filler
mess
plates
with it, and they're dipped in, and they're, you know, it's just a nice bumper to have. I like it.
So, and what's your wheelhouse car? What's the I might have missed it when we were talking earlier. What's the car that you really prefer to build?
Anymore, it'd be a Fox Body Mustang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've ran for the last few years. I think last time I ran at the Bash in the Fox Body, I got fourth. My buddy that I helped build his car, he got first. Then I took it to Kentucky, and basically it never moved up front. Guys, they, you know, their stuff moved, and
yeah.
I just, you know, it's a Fox Body. If you can do two little things to it, the front ends don't move on them.
Two things, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's we're not going to allow that to Bash this year since I'm helping and my other buddy Carter's helping, but if you can have it, the front ends won't move on them.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of the two things?
Just all about the sway bar mounting.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about sway bar.
Yep.
Just like a Crown Vic.
Yep.
Ben, care to elaborate?
No.
No.
No. No. But that's all he had. Anybody that knows anything about cars, all he had to do is say sway bar or sway bar mount, and then they know exactly where he's coming from.
So in terms of the Fox body, you went into some detail on what you can do and what you can't do on the Lumina and having the flat versus the pointy. What about on the Mustangs? What's your bumper choice like there, and what's it tend to do if you get the wrong bumper on it?
If you get the wrong bumper on the front of a Fox body, it's going to be in the dirt. It'll go straight to the ground. Like I said, it also depends on the rules. To me, if it's a stock show, a lot of guys nowadays, they love to put these big, nasty 400-pound bumpers on the front of their cars because they think that's a cool thing to do, I guess. But me, I'd rather have my bumper bend before my frame rails bend. So yeah. If it's a stock show, I'm not going to have a big loaded bumper on the front of my car. I'd rather have my bumper bend. You know, so even a stock DEC bumper without loaded would be good, or like a Nova bumper, something flat that can bend in before your frame rails go to...
Yeah.
Go to hell and back.
Do the front ends tend to, like, if you put the wrong bumper on the front of a, and I know people are going to start waving their, again, pitchforks and flaming torches. If you put the wrong bumper on the front of a Mopar, it'll bend all sorts of crazy ways, and it can border on the unpredictable. At least if you have a bumper that's too heavy, you know that's going to go one way or another, or can it become a silly string behind the rails turn to basically spaghetti?
Oh, the like Fox bodies are bad for it. They can go any which way. The one side can go up, the other side can go down. They'll go side to side. Like a Pacer, it's everybody knows Pacers are pretty well hard in the front. That and Spirits, Mustang 2s, they're about the same. You know, they'll normally go straight up. They won't go side to side, but the Fox bodies is what you can see go side to side.
Interesting.
Maybe the newer Mustangs, they'll go side to side because it's the same frame rails. But
now, does that also, Ben? Does that also sort of lend itself with some of the conversations we've had about the new style Fords versus some of the 70s stuff? Again, we're talking about some of these cars that were built in the era before the quote unquote the metal changed, and now those new style Mustangs, they've got the new style frame in it, the new style metal, I guess you could say.
Well, it's all got to do with the crumple zones, the crush zones. The crush zones are in different spots, and they're just built different. You know, I think an easy comparison to full size cars, what he's saying with the Fox bodies, mm-hmm. is like the pinch frame or Mopars.
Okay.
Side to side, I mean, they'll go every which way but loose if you can't do a couple things to them. It's kind of, that's like a quick comparison that I could use.
Sure.
You know, to put in general people around this area that could compare. But yeah, I definitely get exactly where he's coming from with his couple little ideas and little tricks. So
if you win the raffle car,
I'm not driving a compact. No.
You just give the ticket.
Full size of a wagon, I'd run, but it's just compacts or nothing against compact guys. It's just not my thing. I don't know what it is, but I've seen some hard comp. I mean, I've inspected some nasty compacts. I've watched them, and I mean, them guys, they got a set of nuts on them to go out there to run like that, you know, and that's. I give them props, but it's not my gig. Everybody always busts my ass about it, but it's not my thing. Good I always said if there's no more full-size cars and I got to drive a compact, then I'm retired.
There's going to be a lot of them that are reduced just to the front seat doors.
Oh, they're, yeah.
There's not going to be anything short. Behind them. There's not going to be anything in front of them.
You know, they're short to start with, and then they're going to shorten them another 6 feet.
So we've been to a couple of these compact shows where people have been forced out of the car because the tailgate, yes.
I've had to pull people out of their cars, and they are madder than a wet hornet. And it's like, dude, just look. Turn your head around and look and see where this guy's bumper just was. You know, and then they're like, you know, they still don't want to get out. Well, you got to get out because, you know, we don't want a fatality here. Somebody's seriously getting hurt.
They don't
want to
get out because they still have a chance.
Yes.
A few years back, I was at a Smash show, and I was in a Fox body, and Fatty tried to pull me out of the back, out of the car because the roof come down, like the side of the roof was basically hitting me in the head, where the back window is. And I guess Fatty, I mean, I didn't get to hear him, but I guess he looked at my brother and said, either I go out there and pull him out of the car and he's going to fist fight me, or I'm just going to go ahead and let him go and hope to God nothing else happens. So I went ahead and drove till I couldn't move no more. So
I don't get it. Yeah. Your head's about to be a grape and everybody's cool with it.
After that, Fatty was like, never again, son.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Well, again, Nick, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I sure look forward to seeing you here. We're going to be getting into town Friday afternoon.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot for having me on. Like I said, we're going to try to make this the best for Brandon. Maybe if you guys are set up close enough, we'll pull the raffle car over there and set it by you guys or something. I know you guys get a lot of people walking by, and maybe we'll sell some tickets by you guys.
Yeah, there's two different places we're going to be set up. We're going to be on Vendors Row for a little while, and then we're going to be pit side for a little while as well with the Sciopas. So I'm sure that we can find a way to make room for the raffle car to be in and around where we are at some point through the course of the weekend.
For sure. Okay, that works.
All right.
I'll see you guys on Friday.
We'll see you soon, Nick. Thanks again.
All right, no problem.
Yeah, see you, Nick.
Nick King. Building the raffle car to benefit Team Brandon at the Bash for Cash. But good conversation about the compacts. I mean, I like the comparison. Because, I mean, I was kind of, the way he was describing a little bit, I was wondering if we were sort of starting to go that direction of the Chrysler. But then with the, I can't remember who we were talking to that talked about how the metal was different. Basically, the material that comprises the frame rails themselves, it's different from the 70s to the 80s, and then subsequently there's the triple B.
Well, it's,
that would be one of the reasons why they were unpredictable.
It's just like when we order our steel, okay, when we order our steel from work, it's a spec. You got to have mill spec, so it's got to be DOT spec mill material. So they do certain mill runs, and it's that spec material. There's a difference. Not every piece of metal is the same. I mean, there's a difference in everything else. And then when you're talking about mass producing frames and mass producing stuff, I mean, it's you're gonna get a wide range. I mean, the old cars, we talk time and time again. People, Mopars especially, I think Mopars have the worst welded frame seams in the history of automakers.
Sometimes they don't even touch both sides.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, these guys definitely were doing that before a holiday weekend Friday after lunch.
Yeah.
Because they missed that whole section right there. And promoters and inspectors just don't see the humor in, we just finished what they didn't do. And, but yeah, I mean, you could get, there's no... Not every car. Every car is going to bend different. In my personal opinion, there's no car that's going to. You can do whatever you can do to try to make that car manipulate in it, body panels or dimples or this to make a car try to bend the way you want it to bend. But in a perfect world, yes, you can get it to do that. But there's the odds of getting perfect shots and making perfect shots and to get it to do what you want it to do exactly.
Slim.
So is there more emphasis on hitting square? You have to make sure you're hitting square.
No matter what you drive, whether it's a compact, a full size, an Imperial, an Impala, a pinch framer, a newer style Cadillac, a Crown Vic, the more square you can hit, the more predictable it can be.
if you look over Andy's right shoulder, you'll notice that
he didn't hit square.
I did not hit square. That was the wagon. That was the Crash Course wagon that went to, that's been in Virginia. It's been, I think it went to a couple different shows in New York now. And it made what might end up being its last run at Radio Hill on a Saturday. There was 8 cars there. Small little get-together at Radio Hill Raceway in Dundee. And I got all the steering problems fixed on the other 2 chassis. This car held up awesome. We 9-wired the windows up, and it did an awesome job in the background. Ryan Davenport and Jeremy Cady came down to those 2 guys again, and Jeremy won it again. Trying to talk them into coming out to Ohio. A bunch of the guys that run in the RC Mud Boss division, which is, they look like dirt modifieds up here in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. A couple of those guys are starting to talk about building them. James Brown, Jerry Brown was there. Chris was there. Zach Herman came and ran. So what it ended up being was a couple groups of 2 and then a group of 3 against that car. And you can see it. It took some punishment. The back bumper is now pushed all the way up into the transmission.
Well, it's ready to be Sedagin now.
I've already thought about it. Already thought about it. Yep. It's already got the wire in the windows. Just got to pull it down a little tighter.
Snagging it right down.
But, yeah, that was a fun time. I've got 2 brand-new cars that are ready to come out to Ohio and see all those guys out there with the RC Derby that's going to be held. There's going to be heats on Saturday, and then the consolations will probably be late, and then the feature's going to be held on Sunday morning.
Well, going to make sure you just hit RC cars with your RC car this year, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I have no idea.
All them bugs worked out.
I don't know exactly what to
do. Okay.
It's only been a year. That was the first car that I had. That was the first time that I ever done anything with it. And it's been a year now. I got four cars left. One point I had 6, but 2 of them have been stripped down because they got so hurt. It was just no point. And then Josh's boy Trent, he busted the frame on 1. Once I get that fixed, we'll be back up to 5 functional ones. But nose pushed back quite a ways on that one. I was impressed with how it hung in there.
You got to liquid epoxy the frames after you run them.
The frames are the back sides of the body. The frame never moved on. It's all just body. It pushed back behind the bumper.
Well, do the frames, and then you could Rhino line inside of the bodies.
Now, see.
Rhino liner.
Now you're talking. See what I was talking about with one of the guys that was familiar with making the rules was I could put Gorilla Tape, 2-sided Gorilla Tape, along all the seams where it comes together because you're only supposed to allow 3 layers of overlap. We'll put the Gorilla Glue in there and then rivet it together, and the seams aren't going to separate in between the rivets.
Don't use Gorilla Glue. Use the epoxy they use building fire trucks.
You're giving the wrong people wrong ideas. Looking forward to getting out there to Bash for Cash. So many good people. Finally get to see them all in one place again. I know a ton of people that want to go that can't. They're looking forward to the pay-per-view online. Mm-hmm. Mark Klein and Derby T is taking care of that again this week, just like they did last week up there at Drive for 5. Those guys have been putting on the miles just like we have. So looking forward to seeing that crew out there. I know Cheaters Videos is going to be with them, and then all of the vendors. We're going to be set up with Big Rock for a little while. I'm sure we're going to see Brodzinski and Ski Inc. We're going to see the Cyopolis on the pit side. Chris Polly said he's got close to he's got over a metric ton of meat to bring and grill, so that'll be
pork chop, man. That's what he does. He cooks, man.
That'll be good. He said that he's got so much meat that for the first time ever he's going to have to put a tip jar on the side of the grill.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they should anyway. I mean, what he does is he does out of the kindness of his heart most of the time, and you know, and that's just his personality. And you know, I've met him and talked to him a few times, but you know, he's just a heart of gold. He'll help anybody, and definitely, if you're hungry, he'll feed you for sure.
He's laughing at us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's so they don't call them pork chop for nothing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Put a fork in it for now?
Sure.
Covered a lot of it. Make sure you jump online if you need more information. Smash It's got their own Facebook page. You got their website. You can find out more about it. Again, officially the The dates, the 27th, 28th, 29th, Ross County Fairgrounds, 334 Fairgrounds Road in Chillicothe, Ohio, if you need the zip for GPS 45601. Bash for Cash coming up this weekend. I know I'm looking forward to it. I know Ben's looking forward to it. I know Andy, he wishes he could go, but he's not old enough to get in. I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course, episode number 133 in the books. Thanks for everybody for coming on and hanging out with us for a little while. And we're going to do it all again here in just a couple days when we get to the Bash for Cash live trackside in Chillicothe, Ohio. We'll see you then.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Wadena Grand Slam. Bolt Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonedGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.